So that kind of brings it all full circle in my entire experience, right? But everything that I've done started with three questions, like three questions that I asked myself. So my experience here in Kelly, like some people's and unlike others, was a struggle, literally a struggle. I'm a first generation college student. How many are first gens? Welcome to college. I am a first generation college student, the oldest of all of my siblings and the oldest of all of my grandmother's grandchildren and my grandfather's grandchildren. So I'm like the first to set the pace. I pretty much set the path, set the stone. As first generation college students know, that's a lot of pressure, right? To have to completely set the tone for all of this and what we're about to do. It's ridiculous. So I came here and started groups June 2013, and I was doing pretty all right, doing great, ended out groups, and I still had a pretty solid GPA. Started fall semester, still solid. Spring semester, still solid. Sophomore hit me like a bag of bricks. Literally like a bag of bricks. During my sophomore year, I also picked up a position as a resident assistant in McNutt. So I was a resident assistant in the Kelly Living Learning Center, and I was responsible for 52 of people like you, freshmen who are just coming in, no idea what they're doing, no idea what's going on, and I'm responsible for pretty much playing that parent or guardian figure here on campus. In addition to the responsibilities I have as a first-generation college student and just someone here trying to make it, right? So it was a lot. So midway through my sophomore year, it was going great. Midway through the fall semester of my sophomore year, was going all right. I had courses such as like E201, I think I had Calc, I had A201, so accounting. But these were a lot of quantitative courses. And I didn't quite realize that quantitatively, I struggled. So halfway through that semester, it was probably around like November. I think it was one of the days early in November, right before Thanksgiving break. So it was after the midterms, and I had did terrible on my midterms, like absolutely terrible. I remember walking out of one completely crying. Like, it was ridiculous. I did not feel like I was doing well, and I literally felt like I wanted to go back home. I felt like if I failed here, like, what's the point? So I'm crying after that exam, and then I go back home and go back to my dorm room. And I'm still crying. I'm still upset. And I'm just sitting in my room. I had a room by myself, of course, because once I came here, I didn't quite, like, I knew a lot of people. A lot of people knew me. I didn't have a lot of friends. Friends are people you can go to in situations like that. I didn't have a lot of friends. So I'm in my dorm room, sitting by myself, four walls, crying. And I'm just sitting there and I'm sobbing. And literally, my freshman year, I kind of learned that I couldn't necessarily every single time something went wrong, call up on my parents, call up on my mother, because as a first generation college student, they don't understand this experience. They're not understanding that this exam is like everything and I can't just do better next time. Or they don't understand that, oh, as a Kelly standard admit, my freshman year, they didn't understand that if I fail this exam, I'm not getting in, which in turn affects my whole life and their whole life. They didn't understand that because they didn't have that college experience, right? So I'm sitting in my room crying. I couldn't call anybody. And after about 30 minutes, I decided to stand up. And you guys know, what dorm are you in now, Reed? Yeah. You guys know you have like that closet with a mirror on it, right? You have that closet with a mirror on it. I'm in Reed now. So you have that closet with a mirror on it. I stood up and I looked in that mirror. This was a McNutt version because I was in McNutt. Stood up, looked in that mirror, and I just started saying affirmations to myself. Precious, you deserve to be here. Precious, you worked for this. Precious, you deserve a seat in this classroom just like everyone else who's looking at you as if you're incompetent. Just like everyone else who every time you walk into the room, they ask, oh, are you a direct admit? Just like all of those other people, I deserved to be there. And it was up to me, nobody else, because it's something internal. It was up to me to prove to myself and validate myself that I deserve to be there, right? So along with those affirmations, I then went, I'm like a solutionary. I want to create solutions, right? So I went and I told myself, what can I do to fix this? I asked myself three questions. The first one, who was I? Who was I before I came to this campus? In high school, who was I? During my childhood, who was I? And I began sort of figuring out exactly what that was. During high school, I was somewhat of an introvert. I was pretty insecure. I was not what I thought I wanted to be. During high school, I was very smart, obviously, but that wasn't good enough. Being smart is not good enough until you believe in yourself, right? That's just not. Because everybody else is going to believe you're smart, but if you don't believe you're smart, then why does it matter? So, who was I? Insecure. I was smart, though. I was here. First-generation college student, group scholar, Hudson Holland scholar, 21st century scholar. I was sitting on different boards. So I knew I had a little something going for myself. But I had to really identify and sort of look back at all of the experiences that I've had between my parents, between my siblings, between my extended family. What did that look like? How did I fit into all of that? And how did that sort of mold me? That entire childhood experience, how did that mold me? And then my second question, who did I want to be? Now, this is really one of the harder questions, right? Or really, actually, no, it's not. Who do you want to be is very easy because we all have aspirations, right? We all feel like we got some potential, or sometimes we see potential in other people, right? But potential is nothing if they don't act on it. You can see the potential in somebody and they don't see it within themselves. So, who was I and who did I want to be? Who did I want to be? I knew I wanted to be a little more confident. I knew that I wanted to be a business student. I had already attained that, but I knew I wanted to sort of set myself up for success here. I also knew in my mind that I wanted to put my family on, right? Y'all know what that means. You wanted to put your family on. Y'all have heard like Beyonce and Jay-Z's new album, right? Yeah, the Carters. Boss. Now in there he says, what did he say? Over here, success is when everyone else around you is successful as well. That was my goal. To put everybody else on around me, not just me. Because it's not just about me. Like I said, I'm the oldest of five. I have a huge family. And my grandmother, she has 13 children. She has 23 grandchildren. And I'm the oldest of all of them. It was my job to put everybody on. When I came to college as first gens, right? I don't know if y'all experienced this, but my family, I come back home and it's like, oh, you're a college girl now. You different. Talking all smart. That's how it was. For me, at least. And it was more so just like, okay, I want to put them on. And I knew in order to put them on, I had to change different aspects of my life. I had to change my perception of my life. I had to begin asking myself questions that I didn't want to really answer or I didn't want the answer to. Because you can't change your life until you change your question, right? So, who was I? Who did I want to be? And then the last question was, who am I currently right now? Who am I? And this is actually the hardest question, because a lot of the times we think we're one person, or we think we're some aspect of someone, of ourselves at least, and other people look at us completely different. Some people think, oh, I'm confident, and then other people are looking at you as if it's arrogance, right? You can think that you're like so ugly and then other people think you're beautiful. There's always a misconception between who you think you are and who others think you are. And there's a word for that. Does anyone know? Starts with a B. Yeah. Anyone? This word that describes you, it describes the persona of you. Starts with a B. Second letter is R. This discrepancy, or how you look at yourself, how you view yourself, your own persona, is your brand. Who you are kind of encompasses your brand. And there is always a misconception between what you think your brand is and what other people think your brand is, right? Now, you might not be aware that that misconception is occurring, but there is. And it's up to you, once you come here, it's up to you to identify exactly where that gap is and to fill it. Because I knew that I wanted to be confident, but then the gap lied in, okay, do I actually believe in myself? Everyone else believes in me, but do I believe in myself? I didn't. So then I started asking those questions. And really, that's when everything in my life started to shift. After that one night in that dorm room of me literally crying, sobbing, and feeling like I am literally alone, feeling like the walls are closing in on me on this huge campus, me thinking, how can I be surrounded by so many people and still feel so alone? Those three questions, who was I? Who did I want to be and who am I? Those were what changed the entire trajectory of everything that I was doing. That's what changed me. And I urge you to sort of ask yourself those questions as well, because you are now on this sort of collegiate journey, right? Y'all are weeks in, so you're ahead of everyone. You're ahead of all of these freshmen that are going to come in August and realize that they don't know anything about this campus, but you know everything. You are now ahead, and you have to use that as a leverage. But more so, you sort of have to look at it and understand that all of this is going to be hard. Like, whether you're majoring in business, minoring in business, even if you don't give a damn about business, college is going to be hard. But you also have to understand that you're going to get through it. Because I'm not one to lie to you. Some people are going to tell you that it's going to be a breeze. Yes, that's true. It's going to go by fast. Okay, it's true. But it's not going to be easy, especially for those of us in this room, because we all have something in common. We're all group students. And being that we are group students, that shows that we've went through certain trials and tribulations to be exactly where we are right now. So when you look at it and you ask yourself these three questions and you start to really go through your collegiate journey, you go through freshman year, and really I'm going to tell y'all right now, freshman year is the easiest. Sophomore year, again, it's going to slap you like a bag of bricks. Junior year, it's just going to be jumping you. Like, they're going to jump you. Everybody. Like, everybody. But eventually it will get easier. But as you're going through this journey, you kind of are going to feel like, I don't know, has anyone ever jumped out of a plane? Anybody? No? Would you like to?
Yes.
I would like to as well, right? But this entire experience here at the campus of Indiana University is going to feel like you are about to jump out of a plane. You know, like, you excited for it right now. Like, that's where y'all at. Like, you're excited. Like, it's about to start. Like, it's about to be turned. Like, you got to get a little five homecoming. It's going to be lit, right? That's how you look at it. And then you get on that plane, and then y'all kind of, like, ascending up. You're like, hold on. It's a little too high. What did I get myself into? Maybe I don't really want to do this. But it's too late because you're already in it. And then you get to the top. And then they stop. And they open those doors. And now it's time to really jump. Now you got to show them exactly what you made of, right? Yeah. It's time to jump. So you get to the edge and your feet's dangling off of the flight, like off of the plane. Your feet's dangling. Thousands of miles up. Thousands of feet up. Your feet are dangling. It's ridiculous, right? It's scary. And you look down and you don't see no one. You don't see anybody. You got to jump by yourself? I mean, you got a parachute, but you got to jump by yourself. And who really going to be thousands of feet up and believe in a parachute? You really going to put all of your trust in that parachute? Too bad, because you have to. You've already gotten in and you've already paid your $500, $600 to do this. to do this crazy thing. You've already paid all of your money, a big lump sum, just like college, right? You've paid your big lump sum to do this crazy thing. And now you're at the edge, right about to do it, and you're nervous. You're getting a little anxiety. You're like, wait, I'm scared. I kind of want to go back. But then the guy's right there kind of like, stop being a punk. And he's like, do it, right? So then you sitting there and you like real scared and you trying to like talk yourself up like, oh my God, I got to do this for real. And it's just you, right? And you scared. You think you about to fall flat on your face. You think you about to fall flat on your face, don't you? I would think I was about to like, I don't even know what I would fall on because I feel like by the time I hit the ground, my body would be disappeared. It would be gone. But you think you're going to fall flat on your face every time. Every time you think you're going to fall flat on your face. You might have some instances where you're like, okay, I can really do this. I'm excited. But that's before you get to the edge. You get to the edge and you're like, no, I can't do this. This is not for me. But you get to that edge and you finally work up the courage to actually jump. Even though you're anxious, even though you're nervous, even though you're scared and you feel like you're just about to die. And just to bring this metaphor in, you're going to feel like you're about to die in college sometimes. All of the pressure, all of the stress, all of the late nights, you're going to feel like, oh my goodness, is like life over? Is it done? And they still not done yet. They still not. But you finally work up the courage to jump off of that plane. And the moment that you jump and you thought you were going to fall flat on your face, you don't. Isn't that crazy? You don't fall flat on your face. You're actually up there and you're just free falling. Some might call it soaring. You're soaring and that parachute that you thought might have not been there, oh, it's there. Like it's actually there supporting you. And that parachute is more so like a metaphor for Professor Rubenstein, Professor Winston. Everyone here and those people to your right and your left who are here supporting you, that's what that parachute is. And now you feel like you're actually soaring and you're flying and you're above everybody else because now as you're going down, you can kind of see everybody and they still down there, but you're up top and you're soaring. That is what happens when you ask yourself those very reflective questions. What were the questions?
Who were you?
Who are you?
Who do you want to be?
Who do you want to be?
Who are you?
And who are you? And I want you to understand that that order of those questions is very important. Who were you? What does your past look like? And then you immediately want to look to your future because you are no longer your past, right? You are no longer whatever happened to you in high school, whatever happened to you in middle school, whatever happened to you when you were a child, whatever like one of your parents did that you're still blaming them for. Whatever any of that, you're no longer all of that. You are now looking in the windshield rather than the rear view, right? But we got both mirrors because we need to look at both at all times, right? You got to take into consideration both accounts of your past and your future. And then only then when you know your past and your future can you really identify who you are right now. Because those two things brought together are really what kind of make you who you are, right? And literally to kind of loop all of this in, I'm only where I am today. All of these successes that I've gotten throughout this entire journey at IU, because it's been long. I've been here 5 years. How old were y'all 5 years ago? 13. Some of y'all were probably 12.
Yep.
Don't that feel like a long time ago? Because it is a long time. 5 years is a long time. But everything I've done, everything throughout this entire 5 years is because I set myself down and I decided to no longer be a victim. I decided to no longer just identify problems because it's very easy for us to identify problems, right? We're like, oh my God, this is going on. It's raining today. They ain't got this together. They got all of us here right now and we don't even know what's going on. All of that, right? It sounds accurate. I know. I've heard. It's very easy to identify problems. But who can identify solutions? Can you fix your problem? You have the ability to, right? But when you don't and you just identify problems, that means you don't want to. You enjoy being a victim, right? Good. Don't nobody say nothing because you don't. Don't enjoy being a victim. Create solutions. So the moment that you fix your mouth to identify a problem or complain about something in your life, fix your mind to create a solution for it, right? Because we can do that. Everything that you have here, you are already equipped with all of the resources that you need. You might not realize it right now. You might not realize that these people who are sitting right next to you are those that are going to lift you up throughout this entire journey. I was literally just walking on campus yesterday, and I was right around Ballantyne. Freshman year groups, like all of your classes are like right in that area. At least mine were. And I'm walking, and it was just nostalgia. Because I walked past, it's like that back area where they have like the benches outside in Ballantyne. That back area, I was walking past there, and I'm like, me and my group, like me and my class, we used to get it in back there in between classes. Like, we would just be clowning. We would have so much fun. We would be sitting there helping each other study or just complaining about something and not creating solutions because we weren't mentally there yet, right? We was just complaining. But it was so much nostalgia because as I look, everything that I identify, it went by so fast. It went by in the blink of an eye. And then when you look back, and like me, you've done so much, and you start to rattle off everything that you've done, you're like, oh my gosh, that was a long time. I've spent nearly a quarter of my life on this campus. I'm only 22. That's it. I'm only 22. But everything that I've done more in my 22 years than most of my family members and even my close friends have done in their entire lifetime. And I'm sure y'all can say the same thing. Going to college as first-generation students, that's just a simple feat in itself, right? It's a feat. But you've now overcome that. And now since you've overcome that, you got to look at what's next. What else are you now overcoming? What goals do you have? And I encourage you to write them out. If you're someone who's looking to major in business, but you are not in the business school just yet, your focus has to be it's tunnel vision for you. It's tunnel vision for all of you, but it's specifically tunnel vision for y'all. Because you cannot come here and be one of those students that say they want to do business, they say they want to be a Kelly student, and then by sophomore year, you see them in SPIA. Nothing wrong with SPIA, but that's not what you wanted to do. So why are you falling back on it? Why? Of course you should have a backup plan sometimes, but you need to make plan A work. It's plan A or it's nothing. That's just it. Now have your plan B, and if your passions and your interests change, completely fine. Your passions and your interests have changed. But if you sitting right here and you telling me that you want to be a Kelly student and you want to graduate in these 4 years, 4 years from now, you want to walk across that stage as a Kelly student, then you need to do that. The whole being sort of discouraged, that's fine. Get up, dust yourself off, and try again. Because what we won't do, especially as group students, I've spoken to a number of you already, especially those who are looking to pursue Kelly, you have to believe in yourself. And I know I say this, and I just told y'all that I didn't, but now I'm telling you from experience that you have to. All of the insecurities that you have surrounding being on this campus, some of you as a first-generation college student, you got to make it happen. You got to make it work. There's no excuse. None. Because something that I learned, and I'll start wrapping it up so we can ask questions, but something that I've learned here, and it wasn't necessarily in the classroom, it was in my extracurricular activities. So I joined a sorority when I was here during my time here. So I'm a member of Delta Sigma Theta Sorority Incorporated. And during my time, I served as vice president. Something that we learn in Delta is excuses. We learn what excuses are, and we don't make them. Do y'all know what excuses are? Do you? I'm glad you're being honest, okay? Be honest, yes. Some of you feel like you do, but we have a whole, and pretty much not even just Delta, but the entire sort of Black Greek system in general, we do excuses. What are excuses? Excuses are the tools of the incompetent. They build monuments that lead to nowhere. Those who specialize in them are usually no good for anything else. That's the definition of excuses. Now, after you hear that definition, do you really want to make an excuse anymore? You're like, I'm not incompetent, so I don't want to make an excuse. Tools of the incompetent that build monuments that lead to nowhere, and those who specialize in them are usually no good for anything else. So the moment you come to class or you have class, and for instance, not to call y'all out, but you're late, why? You don't have to answer that question, it's rhetorical. But why? And really anything that you say after that is gonna sound like an excuse once you know that definition of excuses. And when you hear that excuse, especially as someone who's Greek now, who's Greek affiliated, what we answer to, we answer that with what are excuses. The moment you say an excuse, what are excuses? And you immediately go into that definition because you realize, damn, I did just make an excuse. Like, oh, I overslept. What are excuses? Oh, I didn't know about it. What are excuses? Oh, what are excuses? And that's exactly like you have to take that with every single thing, not just with class, not just with sort of going to office hours, with every single thing. You have to identify those excuses that you're making, because literally once I identified that definition, I say what are excuses to myself, like, damn, Precious, what are excuses? You really just did that. Because it's not that, oh, you just couldn't, you didn't want to. A lot of the things, once we start identifying and reflecting with ourselves, we're like, I really didn't do that because it wasn't a priority. We all prioritize different things, and that's okay. But you need to make a priority what your priorities are. And right now, your priorities are what? School. Some of you might be work, because some of you may be funding your own education. I get it. I did it myself. I worked 3 jobs one semester while having 17 credit hours. And there was one semester where I had 21 credit hours and I still got a 3.8 GPA. That is a culmination of knowing yourself, staying on top of it, and identifying where you're making your excuses and no longer making your excuses anymore. So that's pretty much all that I have for y'all, at least for the motivational portion.